Welcome back to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Laura Fitzgerald. Spring has sprung. Officially starting last Friday, spring tends to mark the time when people look for ways to get more time outdoors, taking advantage of the longer days and warmer weather to spend some time taking in our state's natural beauty. One such gem of the region is wildflowers and the often talked about phenomenon of the superbloom. But as we heard earlier in the show, all this heat has a downside too. Warm temperatures this early in the season could mean this year's blooms, while still beautiful, might not be quite so super. Here to tell us more about where and when you should go see wildflowers is Kate Maudsley. She's a volunteer docent at the 1,600-acre Jepson Prairie Preserve and self-described enthusiastic wildflower seeker. Welcome to Insight, Kate.
Thanks. It's nice to be back.
Thank you for being here. So before we get into why this year might be different, I think it would be good for us to tell listeners, describe what is the superbloom?
The superbloom really came into public awareness 2 or 3 years ago when there was a real intense flowering of our spring plants, especially down in Southern California and more especially out into the desert. And technically, the term superbloom really only applies to the desert, although it was a good year in Northern California too. And the reason is that they don't get rain every year. And so there are seeds waiting for rain and a chance to bloom. And when it does happen, as it did this fall, one of your earlier guests was talking about the rains in October. And that set the stage for a great flowering in January, December, January, February, in places like Anza Borrego in southern San Diego County. The California Native Plant Society spoke about a superbloom in the higher elevations of Death Valley as recently as last week. So there was a superbloom. It just doesn't apply to us.
Mm-hmm. And this might sound like a silly question, but I'm wondering, is superbloom a scientific term?
No, definitely not. And I have botanist friends who get their hackles up every time anybody insists on talking about a superbloom.
Interesting. So the question everyone wants to know, what will this year's wildflower season look like?
This year's wildflower season is well advanced. Out at Jepson Prairie, we started out with, in very early March and late February, seeing flowers in bloom, and that's lovely. And then by the time our public tour season started 2 weekends ago, we weren't looking at the early season plants any longer. We were looking at the mid-season plants. Mm. Most people I know who follow flowers are agreed that things are running about a month early this year. And what that means is if you want to see flowers, get out there now.
So what impact does the heat have on the flowers? It sounds like you're saying it moves everything up a little bit.
It can move everything up a lot. There are two factors that are primarily motivating this thing. The first is the rainfall pattern. And because most of the wildflowers, not the blooming shrubs, but the wildflowers are annual. That means that they have to complete their life cycle from the time it's warm enough for the seeds to germinate until there's no more water around and the temperatures are so high and they just die, hopefully having had time to bloom and get pollinated and make their seeds for the following years. So there's temperature. And then the exceptionally high temperatures that we've had in the last couple of weeks, if the plants have started to grow, which they should have by now, are simply going to push them to get through their blooming cycle fast, mm. because they don't know how long I'm anthropomorphizing it at a fantastic level here, but the plants are programmed to complete their life cycle while they still have the conditions they need in terms of temperature and availability of water. Mm-hmm. And the high temperatures mean the water is going to disappear much more quickly. And so, you know, go to it. Out at Jepson on Saturday when I was leading a tour, I was just about finished and my eyes fell on a little lily family relative that is one of my traditional signals for, you know, sort of we're winding down the season. Well, we're not. But the fact that these rhodeas are coming into bloom now means that we're certainly toward the peak and almost past the peak of the season.
Mm. So if people are looking to make it out to see some wildflowers at their peak season, where should they go to find this?
Well, on Facebook yesterday, I saw a photograph of a lovely little one of the fairy lanterns, one of the California lilies, at the 3,500-foot elevation level. Now, that's a very early plant. So you could, I mean, you can start at the coast at Point Reyes or any of the other coastal parks because that's a mild climate. There will almost always be something blooming. In our area, it's mid-season, but there are good displays in the places I've been. It may not be the, you know, miles of color that you hear about, but I mean, Bear Valley in Colusa County or, Jepson Prairie. But probably most state parks in this area will be fairly good now. It's just that they will not be as colorful as we would normally expect by the early part of May.
Mm-hmm. So, Kate, one of the local hotspots to take in the wildflowers is Jepson Prairie Preserve south of Dixon, and that's where you're a docent. What makes it such a great place to take in wildflowers or nature in general?
Jepson is a special case, as it were, because Jepson Prairie protects a number of vernal pools, and vernal pools are a special and, using the word properly, unique feature of the California landscape. They are temporary bodies of water. They get their water only from rainfall, but the water collects because right under the soil, at a foot, 2 feet, 3 feet, there is some kind of layer that keeps that prevents the water from percolating down to the groundwater level. And not only does it keep water in the soil, but since the soil is not completely level, there are very modest elevation differences. Once the rainwater has risen to the soil level in the lower areas, it keeps on pounding up, and therefore you get these temporary pools. Our largest temporary pool happens to be 100 acres when it's full. But and so there are both animals, which in this case are invertebrate, aquatic invertebrates like fairy shrimp, and plants that have become adapted to the situation where part of their life cycle is flooded and part of their life cycle is out in the air. And for the plants, they have a very brief time, a couple of months, to grow and bloom and flower. And they flower by the thousands and then set their seeds and die. Jepson Prairie is beautiful now. By the 15th of May, you will wonder why anybody ever heard of it. It's dead and brown.
Yeah.
The Golden California is dead California because of our annual. So many of the plants are annual.
Yeah. Well, lots to think about, and hopefully folks listening can get out there in nature and go and see some of these natural wonders. Kate Maudsley is a volunteer docent at Jepson Prairie Preserve in Solano County. They'll be offering guided wildflower and critter walk tours of the preserve every Saturday and Sunday at 10 a.m. until May 9th. You can find more details on our Insight page. That's it for Insight today. Learn more about our guests at capradio.org/insight. You can also subscribe to the Insight podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you want to join the conversation, email us at insight@capradio.org. Thank you to producers Andrew Garcia, Sarit Lashinsky, and editor Jen Picard. Insight's technical director and audio engineer is Mark Jones. Our original show music is produced by Adrian Gilmore. And I'm Laura Fitzgerald, in for Vicky Gonzalez. Thanks for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.